It is good to see everybody out this morning. Sometimes on Sunday mornings as we're coming to the church building, I can kind of get kind of tunnel vision, thinking about the lesson, about things that pertain to it, kind of preaching the lesson, if you would, in my mind on the way here. And so that kind of tunnel vision can be useful, but sometimes it can be a little bit of a hindrance. And this morning as I was driving, I just kind of took notice and probably paid more attention to the fact of driving and seeing the blue clouds, the blue skies above and the clouds and how pretty it was. Looked around and saw the trees, the leaves on it and the green grass and thought about how pretty the world is right now. And being thankful for the opportunity to come together to be able to study and learn more about God and that our God has given us a beautiful world to live in. And as we've been singing these songs about heaven, sing to me about heaven, and also how beautiful heaven must be. Realize that we sometimes get tunnel vision in our lives. We forget about what's really important and trying to do what God says to do about going to heaven. I hope that whatever we say this morning can be helpful to each one of us in that effort to go and be there, because we realize that's a place that we all of us should desire to go and be. In Acts 18th chapter, we're going to go back to this chapter. Nothing else I could be consistent. Now we're going to go back to Acts 18th chapter one more time and study here about a matter that comes up. Now our text deals with somewhat what we're going to talk about with the Bible class, and I wasn't about ready to start saying anything about baptism in Acts 2 verse 38 because that's my lesson. That's what we're going to talk about, at least part of it. But that subject does come up in this passage here. And as we're looking at it, one is thinking about what it means. What it means is its origin. Where did that come from? The idea of being baptized, the baptism and all. Where did it come from? Why? What was the purpose of this? And also, just think about what authority? Who was giving the authority to do these things, to teach these things? Now, as you look at our text, you realize that this here group was at Ephesus. That in Acts 18 chapter, there's kind of a interesting things going on here in that Paul is at Ephesus a little bit earlier than our passage that we had read for us. And if you look around verse 19, Paul leaves basically Corinth and goes to Ephesus. And then he leaves Ephesus on his own way to Jerusalem. So he's traveling to Jerusalem and happens to go through Ephesus. So doesn't spend a whole lot of time there. But then it picks back up with Apollos here at Ephesus. And what's going on is that you'll find that these people here were desiring to serve God. And I think we have to realize that when we read Acts 18, and you start reading there verse 24 on down, we have to give these people some credit. In fact, many of them were Gentiles, but they weren't content to simply keep on actually going on into idolatry. That many of them had to leave behind idolatry. In fact, you read the book of Ephesus and you'll find that Paul mentions to them that the lifestyle they had lived and how bad they were, much like we studied this morning in our Bible class when we read the fruit of the Spirit and the deeds of the flesh. These folks had been involved in deeds of the flesh and they didn't want to continue on in that. They wanted to live in a way to please God. And also at Ephesus, there were Jews there that were not content to continue on the law of Moses, that they would realize they had to obey the gospel of Christ. They had that Jesus had died for them. And that Jesus is the means of salvation, not just those folks there, but all people everywhere, that he is our Savior. And so we have to realize, in order to be saved, though, we have to understand what he wants us to do. And as we look at the subject matter this morning, there's an old saying by an old-time gospel preacher that goes like this. Nothing is settled until it's settled right. And nothing is settled right until it's settled by the Word of God. And that always stuck with me because I thought that is exactly true. We want to sell this by what God says. So when we look at our lesson here, our text here, just first of all, kind of like, what is it? And we're talking about baptism. And the word baptism really means immersion. And that's what it means. It means to be submersed in something, in water, in this case here. And we have to understand that when we're reading about the word baptism in the Bible, it comes from the Greek word baptizo. Now, there really wasn't an English word such as baptism originally. But the thing about the English language is that it's highly adaptable, and we kind of invent new words, and we kind of take other languages and cross them over to our language. The example of Google. You know, Google didn't hasn't always existed. That word didn't always exist. When we today say, I'm going to Google it, we know what it means today, but really, let's say about like 30 years ago, nobody said, I'm going to Google it. Because it didn't exist. There was no such search engine as Google. And so we kind of took the idea of Google and made a verb out of it. Well, here baptism is from the word baptizo, and instead of actually translating it as to immerse, what the word means, they simply put it into the English, baptism, or to baptize. And as you look at it, you find that it doesn't mean other words that people sometimes confuse with baptism. In other words, sometimes people talk about baptism, and they're talking about pouring water on somebody. Well, that's not the word that's used in the Bible. In fact, the Greek word for pour water to pour something is babulos. And that's the Greek word there. Well, that's not used in any of the passages we're going to talk about this morning. Not used in a single one. It's always baptism or baptizo. And it's not the word sprinkle, which is ratizo. And so again, when you go through the book of Acts and read through the Gospels or read the word baptize or baptism in these passages, it's not the word ratizo used either. It is always the word baptizo. And so look in the Bible, you find, for instance, an example of this here in Acts, the second, 8th chapter, when Philip is preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he starts preaching about Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 53rd chapter, and explains to him who he's talking about. And Philip asked Philip, well, here's water. What hinders me being baptized? And so verse 37, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Now notice there, one thing is, there had to be belief here. There had to be an acknowledgement of the truth in this here. And then he says, you may, and the answer said, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. So we know exactly what he was believing here. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And so there's an example of that, going into the water and being submerged. That's kind of a side note of this here, and I always thought it kind of strange, because when people talk about baptism, it mentions what we're doing to the person. You take the person and you baptize them. On the other hand, when people talk about pouring or sprinkling, you're talking about the water. You change the subject matter altogether as far as the action going on, what's happening to whom. And so that's just, first of all, we have to understand what the Bible means by the word to baptize or baptism. Also, when you look at this here, we can say, well, it's an act mentioned in the Bible. In other words, this was not something that we just came up with. That Peter on the day of Pentecost, speaking of inspiration, and when he was asked the question, man, brother, what shall we do? He did not just turn around and say, you know, folks, I think we need to talk about this here, and let's just kind of decide on baptism. You got to be baptized. Yeah, let's do that. No, it wasn't like that, and that is that this is something that is inspired. This was the inspired answer by the Holy Spirit. And so knowing that, but also really it's exclusively in the New Testament. In other words, when you look at it, that we don't find anybody during the patriarchal age being told to be baptized. And you look all the way through it here, all the way through Genesis, but you're not going to find it as far as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not baptized. And not only that, but also it's not part of the law of Moses. That there was circumcision part of the law of Moses. There was the law of the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses part of the law of Moses, but you don't find anybody being baptized in the law of Moses. As far as commandments. And so it's exclusively in the New Testament. And just again, maybe a little bit of trivia, but baptized used 8 times, New King James Bible is what I used here, but 8 times in the New Testament is the word baptized, and 22 times the word baptism is used in the New Testament. However, you have to keep in mind the context tells us something. And the context of these passages is very important because not all the times that we read the word baptize or baptism is referring to the same thing. For as we look at it, they're used differently. You're talking about different things. Now, first of all, we look and find Holy Spirit baptism. And Holy Spirit baptism was promised by Jesus to the apostles. And that is when John is preaching and teaching, we find that John tells disciples, I indeed baptize water, but he there is talking about Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so that passage we understand, okay, this is something that is a promise that Jesus is going to minister. I would just note here, now this really does not intend to talk much about Holy Spirit baptism, except to notice that is in the Bible. But I want you to notice here that this is a promise. Nobody was ever commanded to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that is to be overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, which is kind of what it refers to here. After all, how will we do that? This is the promise that Jesus would administer himself. Now, so we have Holy Spirit baptism talked about here. And then also we have the baptism of John. And that's where our text is here. That's our Acts, the 18th chapter. But we read about the baptism of John in the Gospels. And in Matthew 3rd chapter, and starting verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came. And now keep in mind here that this John, he's immersing people. So that's how it used that word. John the Immerser, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And saying, okay, preaching, notice here, the teaching is connected to the action. He's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is who was spoken about by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And so all this here is a preparation for the coming of Jesus and his ministry. And John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So we looked at there. Okay, see, there is baptism of John here. And as you read that, we have to acknowledge this is the message that's sent from heaven. This was by inspiration that he's teaching here. They baptized, but why? Well, it said they were in preparation for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And also they were confessing their sins. Now Mark adds on there, in Mark 1 verse 4, is that John came baptizing in the wilderness of preaching baptism and repentance for the remission of sins. And so that's the baptism of John. And as you read here, thinking about the baptism of John, okay, when was it? In those days. Now, Matthew's writing this years later. And Matthew's recalling what John had done in his ministry. And those days refers to the days of John in his ministry, when he was alive, when he was here upon earth. In those days, that's a time period. And not only that, but also we see the purpose of it, and that is repentance and the preparation for the kingdom of God. Confessing their sins, all these things, is administered by John. And his disciples were actually doing this also. And the people came and were repenting their sins, confessing their sins also, talked about. And so all these things connected with the baptism of John, which, you know, again, preparation. But then we go on and we find that there is also the baptism that's connected with the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And it's different than the baptism of John. In fact, Jesus, in the Great Commission in Matthew 20 chapter, gives this command. Now again, notice, this is something we are to do. So he looks in and we find that this is by the authority of Christ. In Matthew 20 verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Okay, now before we do anything, we have to understand where the authority is. Who gave him the right to do this? Well, he's the Son of God. And he's the one that came out of the grave. He is our Savior. He has authority. So all authority has been given to me in heaven or earth. There's not a place we can go to that he doesn't have authority, in other words. And so what is it that you're supposed to do? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even at the ends of the age. Now that is repeated for us also over in Mark, and that is, Mark talks about it, and he stresses here the believing, and really all these passages have believing as part of this baptism, because you know, if you don't believe, it really doesn't matter. You take somebody and you can baptize that person and they may not even believe in God. Well, does that do any good? No, not at all. You take a young baby. You can take them and put them in water, baptize them in water. And not only will you come out with a baby that is wet and screaming, but you come out with a baby just the same. Nothing's changed. He doesn't know what's going on, right? She doesn't know what's going on. They have to be able to believe. And so those who believe in the Lord command to be baptized. In Mark 16, verse 15, that's Jesus, said to them, the apostles, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And notice again, the teacher is connected to what they're supposed to be doing then. He believes and is baptized to be saved. Who does not believe will be condemned. So again, the point is, you have to believe, and also they were commanded to be baptized. I said, okay, again, we're trying to say, what did Jesus say? And so that's just simply what Jesus said right there. You have the teaching, you have baptism. And then also we look at this here and have to think about what's the purpose of it though. Because, you know, a lot of what I said right here, everybody just kind of agrees with, but the why? Why are they being baptized? Well, again, this is where Acts 2 verse 38 comes in. Because when the people ask questions, verse 37, men, brethren, what shall we do? Peter, by inspiration, gives them, he says, for the remission of sins. Acts 2 verse 38. Then Peter said, now repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I really think as you go look at in verse 21, the whoever calls the name of the Lord should be saved. And really from that point onward, Peter is explaining really what that means. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? And so he's talking about who Jesus is, what they've done, but we also find out he says, okay, you need to be baptized. Why? For the remission of sins. Right there. Now, again, everybody can read that passage, right? But there are some people who say, well, that means because your sins have already been remitted. But let's just kind of take a look at two parallel passages for a second or two here. And that is over in Matthew 26 chapter, as Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper. And in verse 26, it says, and as they were eating the Passover, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. They took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now you notice especially the second for there, for the remission of sins, exactly the same wording used in Acts 2 verse 38. Did Jesus die because our sins have already been remitted? If Jesus said, forget the cross, your sins have already been remitted, I don't have to die. No, we know, no, his death on the cross was for our sins. He had to do that. Same idea in Acts 2 verse 38, for your remission of sins, in order to receive something, in order to attain something, that's why you're baptized. And so there's that parallel passage. And also over in Acts 22 verse 16, as Ananias comes to Saul of Tarsus, and he says to him, and then why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Why? What's the purpose of this? And wash away your sins. Calling the name of the Lord. Calling the name of the Lord is the authority part of it here. Not because Ananias had authority, because the Lord said this. The purpose is they'll have their sins washed away. That's the real reason why they're doing that. And as you look this here, say, okay, what happens then when one does that? Well, we look at it, we also say that baptism places one in Christ. And that with baptism, your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. But over Galatians 3rd chapter verse 26, and so you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There's the belief part of it. Through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Where's first before they are baptized into Christ? They're outside of Christ. That's where they're at. And so their baptism places one inside the church, inside what Christ had established, inside his body. And so there's the purpose of that and what it does. And again, I just want to stress here the authority behind all this. Because these passages we read a few minutes ago, you find the calling in the name of the Lord, And that's referring to his authority on him. And not only that, but mean by his authority. And so all these things are important for us because as you look at it, and you see that baptism, John's baptism, I said earlier, was from heaven. But it's not for the same purpose, not in the name of Jesus. That came later on. And it didn't have the same purpose also. And so that, I had said all of that because when we turn to Acts 18 chapter then, you find, of course, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached here, Acts 2 verse 38. And then this is sometime later on. And so in Acts 18 chapter, we find, and this is one of those cases where, unfortunately, there's a chapter break after the last verse of chapter 18 and the beginning of chapter 19. And that really should be continuous there. That when I read the Bible, and I know a lot of people do too, that you kind of think, okay, a new chapter is a new idea. Well, actually, in this case here, no, it's going back to the same idea. And so here in our text, we find that it says here the baptism of John. Okay, specifically mentioned that to us in Acts 18, verse 24. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, and though he knew only the baptism of John. There's a lot of good things here about Apollos, by the way. When you read about him right there, you find, you know, that basically that he's a man that knew the Scriptures, he's a man that was eloquent, and as you read about him, you find that he's a man that apparently was sincere, that he wanted to do what God said. And part of the reason I say that, because when Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and said, well, you're not exactly saying the whole thing that everybody needs to know. He didn't buckle under. He didn't get mad about it. He simply said, okay. And so we think about Apollos here. Here we find this was after the death of Jesus on the cross. It was later on. It was during the days of John's ministry. John already been beheaded. John already died. And not only that, but also it was after the day of Pentecost. So this here was not what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Something different about this. And only that, but also, again, like I said, Apollos was sincere, as were those being baptized. There's no reason to doubt here that these folks here were willing to try to please God. And so they're doing what they've been taught. And not only that, but also something was wrong. Now, something was missing. Something was inadequate about teaching about this. While Paul's doing here. And so we look here and we find that as you think about this here, there's a different purpose involved here. There's something different going on here. And so in Acts 18 verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Phil and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They explained the things that he was missing, in other words, what he had not learned and not understood. And as you look at it, you find again, it's just interesting, because when you look at it, this baptism of John did not have the blood of Jesus. And the reason I said that, because Jesus had not died on the cross yet. That Jesus was still alive when John was baptizing people. And so it would not have the blood of Christ, knowing that, but also it was not in the Jesus because, and not in the body of Christ, because that was not established until the day of Pentecost. The first time we read about the church, people being added to the church is on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 verse 47. And so we look at this here, it was different than what Jesus was teaching. And as you look at though, that baptism was very important. And as the baptism of John, as you look at this here, was something that was occurring. But then the baptism of Jesus, we read about in Acts 19 chapter. And therefore it said, and it happened when Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul had passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, to what were you baptized? Let me just stop right there. Sometimes we get in a conversation and realize that, you know, we're not all on the same page. We don't have the same understanding. That there's something that tells me that we're not really talking about the same thing, and not necessarily just in religion, but other things. And we have to go back and say, okay, let's back up here and let's establish some common ground here. Let me understand where you're coming from. That's what Paul does here. And that if they had no knowledge about the Holy Spirit, he was kind of questioning, okay, then why were you baptized? What's going on here? And so he goes on and he said, then into what were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John debaptized the baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after him, that is in Christ Jesus. Again, the purpose of the kingdom of God being established and for repentance. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Apparently that question Paul asked, have you heard about the Holy Spirit? He was kind of wanting to know, had anybody imparted some spiritual gifts to you? Because that's what Paul does later on here. But when you're thinking about this baptism then, you find the example that this is different again. They knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. Okay, they didn't know anything about it. And the baptism of John was valid for a time, but apparently it wasn't valid then because that's why he baptized them then. He didn't just say, well, okay, you've been baptized, forget about it. No, he said they baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so this is kind of a chart here, and reason is, and it may be kind of blurry to some of you, but you look here and you find the example of conversion, and really what I just want to point out here is that you have all these cases of conversion, and many of the passages that stress they believe. In the case of Pentecost, we have the word pent is used there, not necessarily mention all the other examples that they confess. The Ethiopian eunuch confessed that he believed Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we find the word baptizo is in every one of those cases of conversion. It's in every one of those cases of conversion. And so it's important. It's something that they were preaching and teaching in the book of Acts about what they needed to do to be saved. And so that's what we find here is that John said, okay, you just got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You got to be baptized for the right purpose, for the right authority. So let's just kind of take this and make some application for a few minutes we have left. And one is that when you think about this, and I try to stress this, the baptism is connected to the gospel of Christ. This was not some kind of church ordinance. This was not some kind of convention that was created that said, let's do this in order to be saved. And that is by his authority, and has to be by for the right purpose. Okay, those three things there that have to be, and that's what we find here. And that is, if it's not by the right authority or purpose, then that baptism simply is not what they were doing in the book of Acts, not scriptural baptism. Now let me give some examples of what I'm talking about here. As far again, as application. One, if, for instance, I'm baptized in order to join some civic organization. Let's say there's an organization for the betterment of our community. And I look at it and think, well, there's some really nice folks there. And, you know, we have a lot in common. And I want to become a part of your organization. I'm going to ask them, well, what do I need to do to actually become part of your organization? Now, I would stress need that. And somebody said, well, you know, you need to actually be baptized in order to become part of our organization, become part of our fraternity, if you would. Okay, so I did that. Well, is that really what they were doing in the book of Acts? And that is, in order to become, you know, will this be about baptism according to the Bible? Well, no, because I'm doing it simply to become part of a human organization, right? And so I realized, and you might say, Dennis, that's kind of ridiculous, but, you know, kind of hammering me for a minute or two. And we understand, well, that's not what they were doing in the Bible. And what if instead of immersed, what if I have water poured on me and sprinkled on me? And somebody calls it baptism. Is that, again, what the Bible's teaching? Is that what they were doing in the New Testament? And we have to say, well, no, actually they were going to water and they were immersing them in water. They were baptizing them. And so we have to understand there that, again, so the baptism of Christ was to his body and was for the remission of sins and it was sprinkling and pouring. No, it's not sprinkling and pouring. It was immersion. And also, what if I'm baptized, not because Jesus says so, but because I just put a convention in me and says so. And you can put other things here. What if I'm baptized because mom and dad says so? Or because my wife and my husband says so? What if I'm baptized because of that reason? Well, I said, well, no, it's not the same authority. It's not the same reason. Not the same purpose at all. I may be doing it just because it's a lot easier to do it than it is to argue against it. That may be what I'm doing. So that's just have to understand that there's things here that we have to understand the Bible is talking about that none of these things are really in harmony with. And the second thing is Baptism is connected to the teaching. It's connected to what's being taught. And what I mean by that is one is taught right, then their baptism, in other words, the authority and purpose can be right, but one is taught wrong, then they are baptized wrong. Maybe another way of saying that is they cannot be taught wrong and then baptized right. It's got to be according to what the Scripture says, for the purpose the Scripture says. And so you think about this, and what, maybe later on, again, I may be baptized just because, again, I had a lady out in the Tuckerman, Arkansas. She was in her early 90s. And she wanted to be baptized, although she'd been going to church there, been a member there for many years. But she said she got thinking about it. She had been at a camp meeting when she was a young teenager, and a lot of her girlfriends were going on up there and being baptized. And she just kind of went along with them, and she got thinking about it. And later on questioning, he said, did I do it really because of belief, or did I just do it because it was kind of like the thing to do that night? And so she wanted to make sure she could. She wanted to be sure about her baptism, so she wanted me to baptize her, knowing exactly what she's being baptized for. The remission of sins by the authority of Christ. And you think of those in Acts 19 chapter. And that is that once Paul told them about Jesus, about who he was, you know, they didn't say, okay, now understand what you're talking about. Okay, you know what, I applied this to earlier baptism. No, they had to be baptized for the right reason. And so, not only that, but also, there are religious groups that who teach that person is saved first and then baptized. Okay, in fact, many religious groups, if you go and you tell them, I want to be baptized, they will ask you the question, first of all, are you saved? And if I say to them, yes, I'm saved, then they'll say, I'm not going to baptize you because we only baptize saved people here. We baptize people not for remission of sins, but because you're saved and you want to be a part of our fellowship. It's for a different purpose. So look at this and realize, is that what the Bible says? And, you know, Peter did not say, okay, if you're saved, then here's what I want you to do. He said, for the remission of sins. That's why you're being baptized here. And you know what? The person is baptized later on comes to believe Jesus, Son of God. Is that right? They didn't believe. They just went through a ritual. That's all they did. And so that's what was talked about in the Bible. And finally, just want to point out, no one in the New Testament baptized the denomination into a particular denomination because none existed. Those things didn't come along until like 1500 years later. And so they were all baptized into Christ. They weren't baptized into some kind of denomination or some kind of just man-made fellowship. They're baptized in the body of Christ for remission of sins. And so that's some things we've learned here about Acts 18 and 19 chapter. And that just taking that Paul, when he came across these folks, said, you know, you're sincere people and you're good people, but he explained to them the way of God more accurately, and they did what God said to do. Now somebody may say, you know, you're talking about baptism, but I believe we're saved because of the grace of God, because of the blood of Christ sacrificed on that cross for us. And I would say, amen. That's exactly right. We're saved because Jesus died for us, because of the grace of God, because we have redemption, as Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We should never downplay that. But again, we have to remember, and that is, we have to do it the way God says to do it. Again, go back to that statement. Nothing is settled until settled right, and nothing is settled right until settled by the Word of God. Simply look to the Bible and see what it says and do what the Bible says in order to be saved, in order to become a part of by Christ and have your sins washed away by His blood. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. And if our invitation applies to you this morning, we are here to aid you, to talk to you, to help you any way we can. If we can aid you, won't you let us know in order to become a child of God as you stand and as we sing.